Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 17. Proverbs, chapter 17. We'll read verses 18 through 22 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Proverbs, chapter 17, verses 18 through 22. Proverbs, chapter 17, verses 18 through 22. A man void of understanding striketh hands, and becometh surety in the presence of his friend. He loveth transgression that loveth strife, and he that exalteth his gate seeketh destruction. He that hath a froward heart findeth no good, and he that hath a perverse tongue falleth into mischief. He that begetteth a fool doeth to his sorrow, and the father of a fool hath no joy. And let's finish on verse 22 together. Ready? A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. I'll read one other verse to you. Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 13 reads, A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by the sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our church. Thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit here in this room at this hour. Lord, we stand before you needy. We need the truths of the Word of God. Lord, we need you because we are sinful. Father, please, there's no way that one human could reach the needs of the hundreds and hundreds in this room. But you could work through our preacher. Allow the Holy Spirit to do his work in each and every one of our hearts. Father, please, fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with power as we listen, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
The title of this morning's sermon is this. It's called Like a Medicine. Like a Medicine. Proverbs 17:22 says, A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. I'm going to read to you a little funny thing that I found. Some of you have heard it before, but I thought I would share it with us again today. A woman brought a very limp parrot into a veterinary clinic. As she laid her pet on the table, the vet pulled out his stethoscope and listened to the bird's chest. After a moment or two, the vet shook his head sadly and said, I'm sorry, little Polly has passed away. The distressed owner wailed, Are you sure? I mean, you haven't done any testing on my parrot or anything. He might be in a coma or something. The vet rolled his eyes and shrugged, turned and left the room, returning in a few moments with a beautiful black Labrador retriever. As the bird's owner looked on in amazement, the dog stood on his hind legs, put his front paws on the examination table, and sniffed the parrot from top to bottom, and then looked at the vet with sad eyes, and the dog shook its head. The vet escorted the dog from the room and returned in a few moments with a cat. The cat jumped up and delicately sniffed the bird. The cat then sat back, shook its head, meowed, and ran out of the room. The vet looked at the woman and said, I'm sorry, but like I said, your parrot is most definitely 100% certifiably dead. He then turned to his computer terminal, hit a few keys, and produced a bill which he handed the woman. The parrot's owner, still in shock over the death of her bird, looked at the bill. $150, she cried. $150 just to tell me that my bird is dead? The vet shrugged. Well, if you had taken my word for it, the bill would have only been $20. But with the lab report and the CAT scan, of course it's $150. The sermon today is called Like a Medicine. Many times in the Bible, the Lord says that we should be cheerful. The passage of Scripture that we use as a springboard into the entire sermon, Proverbs 17:22, says, A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 15, verse 13, A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9, 7, Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Romans chapter 12, verse number 8 says, or he that exhorteth or on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. The word cheerful means a well mind or a healthy mind. God's saying, if he's speaking to us about being cheerful, he's talking about our mindset, our attitude being healthy. God's telling us that we ought to be of a well mind. In Proverbs 17:22, it said, a merry heart doeth good. It's basically telling us that someone that does not enjoy their Christian life will have a hard time having a well mind. A lack of cheerfulness could equal the lack of a certain amount of health in our physical body. You'll notice around our church before and after the services, there's a buzz. There is laughter. People are enjoying themselves. There's a positive fellowship. Now, it's not like that at all churches, so you know. There are some churches you walk in, it's virtually morbid. You would think that you're going to a funeral. You would think that everybody's quiet and nobody's talking and nobody's laughing. Now, some people think that, you know, that laughter before church and that laughter and frolicking after church, that it's irreverent. I don't, and I don't think that God does either. Matter of fact, that usually people that think it's irreverent are usually people that have come from cold, dead, dry, religious churches. But that's not what this is. We're not a cold, dead, dry, religious church. This is an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist church. We believe that God wants us as Christians to portray the attitude of God, and I don't think that God is cold, dead, and dry. You see, that cheerfulness before the services and after the services is a contributor to our healthy minds and to our healthy attitudes. I can tell you a little bit about a church without ever having to attend a service. I can go to somebody's church, and the 15 minutes prior to the service and the 15 minutes after the service tells me almost what it's like in the service without ever having to have needed to attend a service. A healthy church, the people show up early, and they're talking and enjoying, and it's almost like when we're ready for church, we got to get everybody settled down and in their places. And then a healthy church, when church is over with, everybody's not racing for the door as fast as they can, and I've got to get out of here, and I come by here, but I didn't really want to come by here, and I got to get home as fast as I can and get off the church property and get away from God's people. There's a bad attitude right there. Something wrong. There's something wrong there. Here we have different men that help to shut down and lock down our buildings after the church services. It's very hard for them because we'll finish up church, on a Sunday night, we'll finish up church at 8:30, and the men that do lockdown, sometimes it's 9:30, 10 o'clock, and they're going around saying, folks, you know, church was over with 90 minutes ago, and maybe you could go home, and I want to go home and have some popcorn, you know, but you know something, we're going to let you fellowship, we're going to let you enjoy it, and I tease about that. That is healthy. That's healthy. That cheerfulness is a contributor to the healthy minds of our people and the healthy attitudes of our people. Now, if you'll listen to this sermon this morning, I can help you. Matter of fact, mamas, you listen to what I'm about to say. I think there are mothers that are very, very health conscious for the sake of your children. Then I'd listen to this sermon today because I believe tucked in this sermon there are things that can help you to help your children to be healthier. And I'm not just talking about that they're spiritually healthy. I'm talking about physically healthy. I believe if you're concerned about being healthy in life, you ought to listen. The Bible says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And it goes on to say, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. This is not just talking about a spiritual health. This is taking that spiritual health, and somehow it applies to our physical bodies and our bodies being healthier. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Studies show that doctors have found that an extremely high percentage of people who come to them have psychological illnesses rather than physical illnesses. A merry heart, though, doeth good like a medicine. They used to, I think they probably still do this. You'd go see a doctor and tell them about all your ailments, and they would prescribe a pill to you and tell you to take it home and take the pill and you'll get better. And just that little bit of hope, people go home, take the pill, and they get better. And all they had in the little capsules was sugar. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. They say there are many illnesses in the mind that are in the mind rather than in the body. But a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Another study that I read told that children in happy homes have a much higher rate of life expectancy than those growing up in homes where there is fussing, fighting, anger, temper, rage, and discomfort. Why? A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. As we all know, I start out our Sunday morning services with a touch of humor. Why? I'm trying to make our minds healthy. I'm trying to make our minds ready to receive the preaching of the Word of God. I'm trying to help us to respond. You know, there are some people who virtually don't laugh all week long. They go out in the world and it's hard and the world is hard on the Christian, and we come to church and when we do, somehow as the shepherd of the sheep, I feel like the sheep need a little reprieve. I feel like they need to be able to come in here and relax for a moment and say, boy, there is something to laugh about. There is something good going on. I think it's important. I put humor in my sermons. You say, why? Well, I think it helps keep your mind healthy. I think it's good for us. We have our conferences and every once in a while in church or at some activity, we'll have a skit. We'll have some light fun. You say, why? Because I really believe that those skits are like an antibiotic that doctor the mind of people. I promise you, folks, we'll you know, at the ladies' conference, we had a bunch of tomfoolery, and everybody was, we had some skits, and they laughed and had a good time. I'll promise you, it healed the hearts of some people. I promise you that people need that. People need some lightness, especially with all the negative in life. They need some of that. That's why God told us. He said, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. There, I've had people tell me, he said, preacher, I just look forward to coming to church knowing in the first few minutes you're probably going to make us all laugh. I look forward to that. I hunger for that. I thirst for that. I desire that. Well, it's because I believe that we need our minds to be healthy. We need our bodies to be healthy. And so those skits, and some would say, oh, that's ridiculous. I believe this. I believe you learn better when your mind has had that reprieve, that little relax that humor brings. You see, we're helping to keep the cost of your doctor bills down. We're reducing your medicine costs. You don't need as much Tums and Maalox, Tylenol and Excedrin. Church cuts down on those things. Coming to church and hearing people laugh about the goodness of God and have some joy and some cheer in their lives, it'll just make you feel better. Do you know why many people have stomach problems? Ulcers? They worry all the time. They fret all the time. Constant emotional turmoil. I'm not here to analyze your health. I'm just here to tell you that the Bible says that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. That doesn't mean if you do everything I teach today that you won't be sick, but it will mean that you will be healthier. Right. Do you know why a lot of people have headaches? Well, not dealing with the stresses of life in a spiritual way. Right. Hey, if cheerfulness can help our health, then we need to figure out how to get cheerful and help our health. Yes, notice it. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Now, a merry heart is not going to heal everything that's wrong with you, but I will guarantee you this. If the Bible says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, then a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. I'm just sure of that. I have no doubt about that. And guess what? It does not cost you a lick. I'm going to give you Owens Healthcare this morning. And I'm not going to raise your taxes. It's free. It's free. Who doesn't like free? It's in the book that God wrote, a real medical book. The one that created your body. You see, if cheerfulness could be added to our lives, and it can, then somehow we are going to be healthier. Most of the time in the Bible, when you see the word Mary, and I'm not talking about M-A-R-Y, I'm talking about M-E-R-R-Y, a merry heart. When you see the word merry and you see the word cheer or cheerful, they're almost the identical word. They're real close in definition to being the same word. You know something, when I do hospital calls and when I go visit someone that's sick at home, I almost always go in and plan to try to make them laugh. Say, why? It's good for them. Help them to heal. There are people, I'll go see someone and their body is very, very down and their spirit is very, very down. And this has really nothing to do with Jeff Owens, but Jeff Owens will go in, spend 10 or 15 minutes in that hospital room. I'll cheer them. I'll make them laugh for the first time in weeks and sometimes months. Walk away. Some family member come back and say, you know, my mom's feeling better already. And I didn't charge them a nickel for the medicine. It was free. Listen to me today. The sermon is called Like a Medicine. Like a Medicine. First of all, cheerful health can be achieved by having your sins forgiven. Cheerful health can be achieved by having your sins forgiven. Listen to this passage of Scripture. Matthew chapter 9, verse number 2, it says, "And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." Here's the story. Jesus is in Capernaum. A sick man is brought to Jesus. Jesus heals this man's physical ailment. Then Jesus addresses the man's spiritual need by saying to him, "Sir, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee." You see, folks, having your sins forgiven will give you a happy heart. A happy heart, the Bible says, works like a medicine. I believe this. I believe Christians, born-again people, can have the availability of better health than unsaved people. Because our sins have been forgiven us. When a person gets saved, their sins are forgiven. You say, well, what will that have to do with my health? Your conscience can be relieved as a result of salvation. Look. If you're not saved, you're going to give answer to God for all of your sins, and that's enough to get somebody down. I remember when I got saved and realized I had been relieved of the responsibility of all my sins, and you're talking about a lot of weight off of my heart. We need to get some weight off of your heart. You see, we're trying to make you healthy. At salvation, when you get saved, your sins are placed on the record of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 4, verse number 8 said, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." That word blessed there means that man will be content. There's a certain contentment that you have when you realize you're no longer going to hell. Your sins are placed on the account of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, if you're not saved today, you have some stresses that affect your body and life that could be relieved if you just get born again. If you'd get saved knowing that your sins have been placed on the account of Jesus Christ. Contented and happy is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. The saved man is relieved of the responsibility of those sins because he's been saved by the Savior. That will heal your mind. That will heal some of your troubles in life. My sins were placed on the account of Jesus Christ. Look, folks, if you're not saved, why don't you get saved? Then you can get both heaven and a little extra dose of health because you get heaven. Again, I meet people, and you've heard people talk about the time of their salvation. They said, boy, I'll tell you what, it just getting saved, and it's not all about feeling. Whether you have a bunch of emotional stir at the time of salvation or not is not the issue here, but I will tell you one thing. If you're lost and on your way to hell, and today you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're going to feel better. You just do. You say, well, I didn't. Well, that doesn't determine whether you're saved or not, because feeling has nothing to do with it. But I'll guarantee you this, there is a spiritual feel better attached to salvation. And I really believe there is a physical feel better because you get saved. Hey, I'll tell you this, you die and go to hell, your body will know it's in trouble. Knowing your body is going to end up in heaven, and all those aches and pains and everything that you must face and the deterioration of the body, there's a certain relax in the body to know that one of these days I'll do away with those aches. I'll do away with those pains. I won't stumble when I walk. I won't have this back pain anymore. You say, how do I get that? You get born again. Remember, Matthew 9:2, it says, that it says, and Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Hey, remember, there's the word cheer. It's like the word merry, and a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Salvation is medicine to the body and to the soul of the lost person. Hey, that means you soul winners. You're like soul doctors. Yeah, you're out making people feel better. If you're saved, let your mind be healthy and secure in the fact that your sins are forgiven. You know, sometimes we don't take advantage of all the fringe benefits of salvation. Every once in a while, you need to think back of all those sins that God's forgiven you for. It'll relax your body. Take some of the tension out of your life. Your sins are under the blood, born-again Christian. Let it make your attitude healthy. And somehow, in that cheerfulness, look, it ought to cheer every one of us, the thought that if we're saved, our sins are forgiven us. And remember, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Remember your salvation. Why? It could help your health. Then probably, if this thing of our sins being forgiven in our salvation would help us, then I'd recommend this. I'd recommend that you keep your sins confessed while you're, and it will help your mental state. I think it'll help your body as well. When you sin, you don't lose your salvation. You don't lose that salvation. Once you get saved, you're saved. You don't lose your salvation, but you do lose your joy. Now, wait a minute. Think about this. Your joy, we talked about the word, your merriment. You lose your cheerfulness. Oh, those words are an awful lot alike. Joy, cheer, being merry. And the Bible says in Psalm 51:12, David said, after he had fallen into sin, David was saved. David had not lost his salvation, but David knew that he had lost his joy. And David said in Psalm 51:12, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. You see, when you and I as Christians sin and we don't get that sin confessed, we're going to lose our merry. We're going to lose our cheer. We're going to lose our joy, and we are therefore losing our medicine. Because there is a medicine that God provides to heal not only the spiritual part of us, but the physical part of us through the merry heart. And when a Christian's not right with God, they're not merry in heart. They may be merry on the outside and on their face and smiling and letting everybody think they're merry, but in their heart they're not merry because they're under conviction, because their Heavenly Father may be even chastising and spanking them in love because they're away from Him. Hey, Christian, keep your sin confessed because it'll keep your heart merry. And a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. There are some of you get further and further away from God, and you're wondering how that seems to be connected to your physical health.
But you get far enough away from God, you're not only going to feel bad spiritually, somehow that's going to start affecting your body. And your aches are going to be double aching, and your pains are going to be double paining. And part of it may be a physical problem, but a big part of it may be a spiritual problem, because a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, and you've lost your joy because of your sin. Yes. That makes sense to you? That means this. Using the altar will keep you physically healthy. Using the altar. You go to the doctor, you go to the emergency room sometime. You could sit there for 12 hours before you get in to see the doctor. Let me give you some encouragement. You can come to Dr. Jesus' altar call today, and you won't wait in line for a moment. You can leave wherever you're at in this auditorium and get your heart right with God. Fall down right here and say to Dr. Jesus, I got to get my joy back. I want to confess my sin. If things get me down, it's affecting me spiritually, affecting me physically. I'm coming for healing. They won't charge you an emergency room visit. You can get right to the doctor. You can do something to help your health today. Did you know that apologizing to others could keep your heart merry? I've heard people say it. They're mad at somebody in the church, and they've seen them in the hallway. Said, it just made me sick of my stomach when I saw them. Oh, yeah? Wonder why. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. There's not a cheer between you and your brother in Christ. There's not a merry attitude between you and that lady in the church that you're at odds with. And if you did it right, you wouldn't feel that way. Some of you say, I come to church and I get a headache. And it's not from Brother Owens' loud preaching. It's because you don't get along with people and the stress of avoiding them and trying to sit where they're not and not have to shake their hand and not have to say, good morning, how are you? You bring the stress on. Wouldn't hurt some of you to be able to sing that song. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. That'd help your health. See, the Bible says a merry heart doeth good like medicine. What does that mean to me? Well, that means to me then, if a merry heart will do good unto me, like a medicine would do good unto me, I've got to figure out how to get a merry heart. How in the world can I get a merry heart? The Lord said, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Two things I need to do then. If I'm not saved, I need to get saved because that will cheer me and become a medicine. If I am saved, I need to keep my sins confessed to my God because that will become a medicine unto me. It will cheer me. But secondly, cheerful health is achieved when we realize Christ is present in the midst of our storms. I said cheerful health. This benefit of helping your health. You can get this cheer. Now, how do I get that cheer that will help my health? Well, you have to realize Jesus is with you in the storms of life. Let me read to you from Matthew chapter 14, verse number 27. Matthew 14, 27, it says, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Notice that word cheer? There it is. There's that merriness. There's that joy. That's that cheerfulness. What does that do? It produces. It's like a medicine. It's going to help me. Here's the story. Matthew 14, 27. Jesus, the Bible says Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship. And they got into that ship without him. A storm hit that ship out on the water. The Bible says that Jesus comes walking to them on the water. Now, both the storm and probably Jesus walking on the water scared them a bit. A storm hits. Jesus isn't on the ship. All of a sudden, Jesus comes walking on the water, and the Bible says they were full of fear. During the storm, while Jesus is walking on the water, he's right there with them. This is what Jesus says. He says to them in Matthew 14, 27, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Now, wait a minute. What do I get out of cheer? What do I get out of being merry? What do I get out of joy? A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And notice here, this is not just cheer, this is good cheer. This is good cheer. That's that quality that can improve my health. You know, many of you today, you face some storms in life. I think Brother English, dear wife, Mrs. English, and recently had some surgery. And really, in the last couple of years, Mrs. English has faced some heavy bumps. But I'll tell you something. What a good lady. What a good attitude. You get around Mrs. English, and you'll find that she believes that Jesus is with her in the storm. And I think that's why she keeps on bouncing back no matter what happens to her physically. I think of Brother Bajan's battle with cancer. You won't find a happier man. I think of Brother Jerry Lowther, and again, Brother Lowther and his MS, he's got a bounce back to him. He seems to be able to get up each time he gets knocked down, and it has something to do with the fact that he knows that Jesus is there in the storm, and that presence relieves his body to some degree, it relieves his mind to some degree, it then allows his body to be healthier than what it would be if it was down and feeling forsaken by Jesus. I, Brother Jim Dula, my dear friend back here, doesn't like to get much attention. That's because he's so dumb looking. But Brother Dula, nobody would know it because he just wouldn't tell anybody. But he's faced a lot of difficult health problems. A lot of difficult health problems. But thank God for him. He knows that Jesus is with him in the storm. I recently visited Mrs. Wanda Caldwell in the hospital and went in. And I'll tell you what, I was probably there for about 15 minutes. It's one of our older ladies. Now, see, none of our ladies are old. Just a little older. Some are a little older than others. But I was probably there at the hospital about 15, 20 minutes. Mrs. Owens was with me. All we did was stand there and laugh and joke. Listen to me, folks. Jesus is telling you that he is with you in the storm. Let that cheer you, and that cheer will increase your health. Cheer, or a merry heart, doeth good like a medicine. Remember, they're out, there's a storm. They're overwhelmed by the storm. Maybe the storm could even take their life. And Jesus shows up and says, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. What does cheer get you? A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Matter of fact, when there is no storm, you can accomplish cheer. But somehow, the Bible says here, when you're in a storm, you get a more intensified cheer. If you'll just let it happen, you can get good cheer. That's like Anacin and extra strength Anacin. That's like Tylenol and extra strength Tylenol. You go through the regular battles of life, the little ones, every day, you can get cheer. But when you go through the big storms of life, you have available to you extra cheer. It uses the word good cheer. You know, people who know Jesus is with them in the storms of life are both physically and spiritually healthier. I'll promise you that. I'll promise you that. Attitude has a lot to do with the healing of your body. Now I'm going to tell you, you say, well, you know, I got shot 25 times by a bazooka, but I'm going to have a good attitude and I'm going to heal. No, you're not. You're going to die. But you can at least smile while you bleed to death. I'm saying your attitude will make you healthier. It may not take you all the way because sometimes God allows us to be sick. It's a part of his will. But you will be healthier because you experience that cheer. You say, what cheer? The cheer that we can have by knowing while we go through it, God's with us. Any of you that have ever been to one of the funerals that I conduct for our church members would know, I always put a touch of humor in my funerals. A lot of people would never dare to do that. But I do. And some will ask, they'll say, you know, preacher, that funeral, it was so personal and it was so helpful. I'll tell you why. I helped healing. Any of you that I've ever interviewed and one of your loved ones passed away and you came to my office and we talked for an hour, 2 hours before the funeral, I made you laugh. I made you remember some funny occurrences about your loved one. And I started healing you at that meeting. Yes. Then the next day at the funeral, we healed a little bit more. I was thinking Brother Marvin Barrett. Look back here at the family. What a good man. His wife, Betty, at his funeral. I have to tell you, I'm preaching his funeral. Of course, he's in heaven and looks down at Ann. He'll think this is funny. But they told me how at work, he used to get on the intercom system and just suddenly start yodeling. If you'd ever seen that guy, he was such a dignified man. You talk about that head of hair, and he combed it just right. You would have never imagined him getting on the intercom system at heaven and saying, old lady, old lady." Now, that's what I think they're saying when they yodel. They're talking about old lady. But can you imagine that? You say, "You did that at the funeral?" Yeah, I did. Yeah. He would, I don't know if he yodeled it, but they said he'd get on the intercom system at work and sing, "You pick to find time to lead me, loose wheel," or Lucille, or whatever that song is. He talked about that at the funeral. Uh-huh. You know, everybody that was tense and their bodies were uptight, all of a sudden we relaxed. And our healing at the fact that Brother Marvin wasn't in that box that was set before me called a casket that I choose to call a hope chest. He was already in heaven playing tag with the angels. But we had to heal. We had to heal our way through it. But God said, "A merry heart doeth good, like a medicine." I was thinking of the funeral service of Alice Bowman. I was thinking about... she had the nickname, and I called her funeral sermon Grandma Apple. One of the kids called her Grandma Apple. And that's Phyllis Brining's mom. Believe it or not, when she was in her 70s, her first husband had passed, and when she was in her 70s, she would go bowling. And I can't even remember the whole story, but I do remember this. She went bowling one night in a Batman or a Batwoman costume. I'm not kidding. I couldn't believe it. I thought, that dignified lady went bowling? I mean, publicly. And so, the man who would soon or eventually become her second husband, John, looked at this woman bowling in a Batman costume and said, "That's the kind of woman I want." He always wanted to be married to a superhero. And that's a true story. Well, I heard, I was over at the Brinings, and we were talking about that funeral and getting ready to say not goodbye, but see you later, Mom and Grandma, and we began to laugh. And all of a sudden, listen to this, all of a sudden, broken hearts begin to mend and heal. You say, why? A merry heart doeth good, like a medicine. The battles of life can affect your sleep. Sleep affects your health. You know what some of you need to do? You need to go ahead and go to sleep knowing that Jesus is with you no matter what storm you're going through. You'll be healthier that way. Dear sweet lady, many of you would know of her, many may not. A gal by the name of Mrs. Marlene Evans, she was diagnosed with cancer, and it was said that she would pass away from that cancer and it would kill her. And the prediction more than one time is going to kill her pretty quick. She wrote a book called I Want to Live Every Day Until I Die. She wrote a book called Cancer, My Enemy, My Friend. She spent more of her life making other people laugh and enjoying life. And I'm going to tell you something. All the time that she was trying to doctor other people and making them laugh, and she made them primarily laugh at her. She could get loud. Tell you, she was a woman that would tell you the stupidest things that she did. And everybody loves watching somebody else tell on themselves what you wouldn't tell, she told. And they associated, and I believe she healed her own spirit and a part of her own body over and over and over again. Why? A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. You see, if Proverbs 17:22 is true, and it is, if a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, the word merry, the word joy, the word cheer, if those words are as closely associated as what they are, if I can just figure out how I get cheer, then I can begin to doctor myself. So what do? I realize that to have my sins forgiven, that is a cheerful thing. So if I'm not saved, I get saved, and I start a healing process. If I am saved, then what I need to do is I need to keep my sin confessed to my God so that sin doesn't suppress my physical health. What else could I do? Well, secondly, I could realize that this thing of health can be achieved if I'll just realize that He is with me in the midst of a storm where Jesus said, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." But thirdly, cheerful health can be achieved when we're not afraid of this world. When we're not afraid of this world. The Bible says in John 16:33, it says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer." There's the word. "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Yeah, we're going to live in this world. And yes, there's going to be tribulation. And yes, this is a sin-cursed world. Now, here's what happened. Jesus was talking about his soon departure to go back to heaven. That's what he talked about here in John 16. It's only just a few hours away. He soon would be crucified. He calls his disciples together. Earlier, he said, "In my house were many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." He told them, "I'm going to die. I'm going on to heaven." He calls the disciples together, and the Bible teaches us that they were struck with fear. Now, what was that fear? The fear was, well, what's going to happen to us? What's going to happen to us? And he told them, "Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." Jesus was telling them, "Don't you be afraid of this world. I have overcome the world. Let that cheer you." Oh, you understand that word cheer, right? That's what we're looking for. I'm trying to figure out, if a merry heart or a cheerful heart doeth good like a medicine, I need me a dose of medicine. And right now in the world, everybody's scared to death. Don't you worry, folks. God's still in control. You say they're selling us up the river in the government. God is still in control. You don't have to worry. Your God said, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." God's not copping out on you. God's not checking that. You say, "I'm worried about the next election." Look, the most important election for you in your life, there's not going to be voting. Jesus is just going to show up and say, "Hey, the new leadership's here. The King of Kings is in town." You see, Jesus was telling them, "Don't be afraid. I have overcome this world." That's somewhat like what he said in Luke chapter 10, verse number 20. He said this, "Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." That word rejoice there in Luke 10:20, it virtually means jumping up and down and throwing a personal party about the fact that your name is written in heaven. That means if everything around you fall apart, you just say, "Guess what? I'm not going to go to hell. I'm going to heaven. You know what? That jumping up and down, that'd be some good exercise for us. Yeah. But the Lord said, "Be of good cheer." Now, how am I going to get that cheer, Lord? I need that cheer. Hey, I've just gotten a prescription from the Lord. He just told me. I've been looking for this medical advice. How can I get the cheer? Because the cheer or the merry heart is going to be good for me like a medicine. He said, "You just realize I have overcome the world." Folks, you've heard it said before, but it's worth saying again. We are on the winning side. We're on the winning side. Let that cheer you. Relax, you'll get healthier. Some of you watch so much television and you watch so much news, and on the news, everything is falling apart. Everything is falling apart. Everybody's health is falling apart, and all the economies are falling apart. Everything is falling apart. I have good news for you. God's not falling apart. He has overcome. The Bible's not falling apart. Now, there's some that want to take it apart piece by piece, but that old book is still an eternal book. Realize we're on the winning side. That'll make you merry. That'll make you cheerful. That will be medicine to both your spirit, but not, it doesn't stop there. I believe it's medicine to your body. To some degree, a cheerful heart can help to keep your body healthier. Jesus has overcome the world. He's our mighty captain. Relax. We win the final war. Folks, don't make yourself sick over the thought that that this life is not fair. So you know, this life is not fair. You say, I'm sick over that. I'm sick over the injustices of life. So could any of us be. Just make yourself cheerful and healthy by realizing Jesus is in charge of life. Don't be depressed about all the hate in this world. Be cheered because Jesus helps us to overcome that hate with love. Don't be depressed about all the lies in this world. Be cheered because Jesus helps us overcome those lies with His truth. Folks, did you know that we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us so? You say, more than a conqueror? Yes. Sometimes we say, hey, we get to conquer. God said, I don't know what it is to be more than a conqueror, but we are more than just a conqueror. There's a step up from being on the winning side. Maybe it's we're on the winning side. But you see, it's like a medicine. I need to know. If a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, if a cheerful heart doeth good like a medicine, what am I going to do? How do I get that cheerful heart? Hey, where do I go and get the prescription filled? Where do I go and get the treatment? Where do I go and get the medicine that's a miracle medicine? It doesn't cost me anything. It's free. God wants me to take it. He told me if I would take it, it would keep me strong. It would heal my body. It would heal my spirit. He said, first of all, you go to Calvary and get born again if you're not saved. I'll forgive your sin, and when I do, it'll bring cheer to you. If you're already saved, you hit the altar and you clear up any sin between me and you. That'll help keep your heart cheerful. He said, then, as you go into life, you're going to face some storms. He said, but don't be afraid. He said, be of good cheer. It is I will not forsake you in the storms of life. That'll relax you and heal your body. And then he said this. He said, the next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to let you understand that that's a tough world, but don't be afraid. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. You're on the winning side. I'm going to help you through this. Let me give you one more. You see, we're looking for that cheerful heart. Where do I get it? And fourthly, the cheerful health can be achieved when we're givers. Givers. Listen to 2 Corinthians 9:7. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now, wait a minute. Cheerful? Hi, that's my word. That's a key word. That's a word I've been looking for. That merry heart, that cheerful heart. Here God said, God loveth a cheerful giver. There's a cheerful giver. That's a pizza right there. Y'all hear that pizza? I mean, hear that phone? Here, God said, if you give, there's a thing called giving cheerfully. In other words, giving can produce cheer. Cheer can produce health. The Bible says in this giving, it's not grudgingly. You know, when the plate's passed and you know you should give your tithe and you put it in there and you're mad at God while you give it. You're hurting your health. It says not of necessity. That's where you say, tried everything else and doesn't seem to work and I'm going to give my tithe, but if I had enough money, I wouldn't. But I'm afraid not to tithe. So I'll give it. You're hurting your health. Everybody needs to get over that and just you give your tithe and offering because it is a command of God and you want to obey God and just forget about it from there on in. Just obey it. Just obey it. God said a cheerful giver. Giving can produce cheer. We heard here, a couple years ago, you remember those of you who were here on a Wednesday night at the National Old Paths Conference. We had a fellow by the name of Dr. Ron Talley preach for us. Brother Talley, you remember him. Just almost white hair. Wild. At his church, they really, really like this verse about being a cheerful giver. You could go to any meeting in America where Brother Talley's there, and when they pass the plate past Brother Talley, he makes a scene. He says, amen, hallelujah. Every time, he'll give you a heart attack. You know, you're kissing your 20 goodbye. Man, he's throwing them like confetti. And he says, amen. Their whole church, when they pass the plate, and we're not going to start doing this here, just so you know. I'm glad for you to be happy when you give, but I don't need you to seem drunk when you give. But I'll tell you, they pass the hat, and every person shouts something when they give. Amen. Hallelujah. Pass the hat. Praise God. Pass the hat. Glory to God. You say, oh me. Oh my. Any of you ever been to his church? It's what they do. That's what they do. Listen, folks. The Bible says God loveth a cheerful giver. Let me explain something to you here. Giving creates cheer. For you. For the giver. Really. The great experience of giving and receiving, the greatest experience is the giver, not the receiver. I think God gets a bigger kick out of saving you than you get a kick out of being saved. Happy givers are healthier people, promise you. Givers are happy people. Happy people are healthier people. I get to see the testimony of my dear wife. She has never attended the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church for one single week in the over 8 years that we've been here without bringing a gift. Every week, 52, we've been here for over 8 years, 52 weeks, 8 years, multiply it out. I've never watched her come to church without a gift to give to somebody. She always does that. She always does it. You know, did you know that God faces no depression? God's never sick. What could we attribute that to? For God so loved the world that he gave. God's not dying. He's not deteriorating. He's not in a wheelchair. Did you know that giving cleanses us? Being stingy clogged us up. You know, there's someone, my dad used to say, I've never seen a man drown in his own sweat. Go to work. You know what would be good for some of you? To pass that stuff called sweat through your pores. Clean you out a little bit. You see, keeping clogs us. There's a body of water called the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea has a tributary of water that comes into it, but there is no flow out of it. And everything that flows into the Dead Sea, there are fish that come down the river and they're spit into this sea called the Dead Sea, but they say all the fish end up dying. You go there and there is the smell of death at the Dead Sea. Why? Because as we take in, we are to give out. And if all you do is take in and take in and take in and take in, you will clog yourself up and you will eventually die. The human body's the same way. The church is the same way. A Christian, let me tell you, some of you, you're not healthy, and I'll tell you why. You take in the truth that's preached here. You take it in and 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 you never give any of it out. And before long, you will have come in, plunked down in the pew, absorbed the preaching to the point that you can almost poison yourself because you take it in, 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 but you never get any of it out. You never go tell anybody about Jesus. You never go out and take what you've been given and give it away. And it is not the fault of the truth, it is the fault of the reservoir or the receiver. There's some of you, you receive and you receive and you receive. You need to learn to give out. Why? Cheerfulness is accomplished in giving. We all learn that. We start out immature, young, stingy, fighting over who gets the last cookie. What do I get for Christmas? Let me give you my Christmas list. I want to give you my Christmas list. Then you grow up and all of a sudden you can't wait to shop and buy for the kids. And buy for the ones you love. What is that? That's maturity. That's cheerfulness. Stealing God's tithe will hurt your health. Then it'll raise your medical bills. I believe tithing with a bad attitude will hurt you. You say, well, if I can't tithe with a good attitude, I won't tithe. That'd be the dumbest thing you ever did. God loveth a cheerful giver, but he likes you if you'll go ahead and tithe when you're mad. I believe that giving can heal your stingy ulcers. You know how many people are just scared to death that they're going to lose their stuff? I think there's no better physical healing than when we have sacrificed to meet the need of somebody else.
I'm watching this happen. I think some of it is good. America wasted her money. And wasted and wasted and wasted. Living high on the hog. Now America's coming to her senses a bit, and she's not wasting as much money as what she once did. But you need to be careful. You need to be careful. You don't start stealing that that ought to be given to God. I think America's spoiled rotten. I think the economy being rough is making some people, I believe it's making some people wake up about wasting their money, but it's never a waste when it's given to the cause of Christ. Hey, I wonder if stinginess does not make people physically sick. I think it does. Giving is better than aspirin, Advil, vitamin C. You know, the Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. I'm almost finished. This happened to me more than one time. A lady came to me and she said, "Brother Owens, my stomach is upset all the time and I have headaches. And then when it gets bad enough, my vision is blurred." She said, "I need to go and I need to have myself tested." I said, "You may do so." She said, "What would you recommend?" I said, "I want you to go home. I want you to make some chocolate chip cookies. I want you to go down to the nursing home and I want you to take those cookies down to the nursing home." She said, "But you don't understand. I have headaches. I have these headaches and my stomach is all upset and I'm just nauseous all the time." I said, "Go ahead and try the chocolate chip cookies." More than one time, somebody's come back to me and said, "You know what? The cookies worked." Saved them thousands of dollars at the emergency room because they were just all pulled into themselves and stingy and looking at me and my problems and my needs and what I want and what's happening to me. And we get like that. And all of a sudden the tension comes and all of a sudden the headaches come and we're just sick of ourselves and full of ourselves. Well, if you're full of yourself, that'll make you throw up. "Give and it shall be given unto you," the Bible says. It is more blessed to give than receive. And you say, "Brother Lewis, you're just trying to get my money. I'm not trying to get your money. My Father owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, and I'm not worried about God meeting our needs. I'm worried about your health." I'm showing you from God's medical journal exactly what He recommends. He says, "A cheerful heart doeth good like a medicine." Somebody here needs to go make some chocolate chip cookies and give them to the pastor. I'm just trying to help people. Those of you, there are people in this building that are healthier because they gave me a gift card to Five Guys. At Five Guys this week. But I'm not healthier. There's more of me that needs a doctor than ever. Listen. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. If you're here today and you're not saved, once you get saved, we'll start treating what ails you. If you are saved and you got unconfessed sin in your life, once you come down to the altar, you don't have to wait in the waiting room. Just come right to the altar, the emergency room, and get it cared for. Somebody here, you're in a storm and you're destroying your health in the storm. The storm's not destroying your health. You're destroying your health in the storm. Realize Jesus is with you in the storm. That'll relax you. Not only that, there's somebody here today that this thing of your health and you're struggling. Listen, you're looking at the world situation. You're saying, "What a mess. I'm just sick over everything that's happening around me." He said, "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the very world that's troubling you." And then finally he said, "God loveth a cheerful giver." Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed.